Welcome to Season 3 of The Breakdown, the official podcast of the Breakaway Roping Journal and CalfRoping.com. This season, we're diving into both the breakaway and calf roping like never before, bringing you the personalities, successes, and horses that make these events great.
You can expect training tips from the top ropers, stories from the road, and industry news that goes beyond the numbers.
I'm Taylor Vollen, your calf roping host.
And I'm Lillian Kent, your breakaway host.
And this is The Breakdown. Welcome back to The Breakdown, everyone. It's your host, Taylor Vollen. So today's episode is a little different from the others, I do admit, and truthfully, it's kind of just for fun. Today's episode comes from an interview the host of our sister podcast, The Breakaway Breakdown, Lillian Kent, did with Dez Johnson. In case you're not familiar with Dez, he's kind of a big deal in the world of pushing calves. Dez was the official calf pusher at the 2022 and 2023 NFBR, and he also works Joe Beaver's Junior Opens. Yes, I recognize this is kind of just a bonus, fun episode. Kind of think of it as a breakaway, tie-down rope, and crossover episode. But regardless, I believe Dez deserves all the credit in the world, and maybe we can all apply some calf pushing knowledge from Dez.
So I know we've discussed your story a little bit before, but just give me a really quick rundown of how you got into the tie down and then pushing calves.
Well, as far as me like competing in tie down, or as far as me pushing a ton of cattle?
You could just, I mean, honestly, all of it. You could just say, you know, did you start roping when you were little, or did you start in high school?
Well, like when I was a kid, we started roping goats. That was my one of my family member goats, and when they went to work, we would turn their goats out and just chase them all day until by the time they got off work, and we would put them up before we got caught.
Mm-hmm.
And then we done that most of our childhood. And then as I got older, we didn't have anybody to help to get us to the next level until I got to about 14, 15. And a guy named Papa Calhoun, he took me on his wing and started letting me rope with him and hauling me around everywhere I went. And that's when I started roping in high school rodeo.
Okay, Papa Calhoun might be the coolest name I've ever heard. Yeah, and where did you grow up?
Huntsville, Texas.
Okay. So started going in high school with Mr. Calhoun, and then when did you start kind of leveling up? Because I know you worked for Joe B for a while, right?
Yeah, well, actually, me and Papa, when I was 14, 15, he started taking me with him because he was working the TYRAs and the RAs and helping with the benefits and stuff. And so he started taking me with him. And that's when I started back there sorting cattle and loading cattle and stuff like that, and being around the road, working the rodeo scene.
Mm-hmm.
And as that progressed over the years, probably maybe in my junior year, I started skipping school that week that Joe had his junior rope, and me and all my buddies, we went to work Joe's junior rope.
That's pretty cool.
And that progressed over the years, and I mean, I started out at Joe's deal, just helping, until being the number one gate man, and then being the number one gate man, then dragging between the rounds, and, you know, getting all the guys put together to go work, and, you know, just kind of looking out for them the whole time while we out there, make sure the hotel rooms get trashed or doors get kicked in again.
You said make sure the hotel rooms get trashed?
Don't get trashed.
Don't get trashed, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. And do you still work with Joe a lot or not so much anymore?
Anytime he calls, I'm there.
Awesome. And then as far as the stock contracting stuff goes, do you have somebody you usually work with, or are you supplying them? How's that working?
Oh, I've been, like, since I was, since when I was in college, Lana Mango has had the calves for the youth rodeos, and he would call me. He was like, hey, I got some cattle going over here. And, you know, you mind feeding and everything else? And I was like, yeah. I said, I got to work them rodeos and work the youth rodeo this weekend. He was like, oh, that's perfect. My cattle will be over there. When I get over there, me and you get squared up and get you lined up. And if you have any problems, just give me a call and I'll have you take care of my cattle for me on a weekend. And I was like, yeah, it's perfect. I got to be there anyway, so
yeah.
I can definitely handle that.
Yeah, and then now it's turned into this thing where you're working at Rodeo Houston, working the NFBR. I mean,
yes, it started out. John Gwatney called me. He's like, "Hey, I might have a spot for you to come start working in San Antonio," and I was like, "Oh, that's pretty good." And we worked up a deal for me to come down there, and Lennon was like, "Hey, I got some cabs over there. Do you mind helping out over there during the day?" And I was like, oh, no, no problem. I can make it work.
Uh-huh.
And so them two kind of combined and got me squared up to where I can help out at San Antonio. And then he was like, hey, I'm putting a bid in for Houston. I mean, if you can go, I'd love it. You know, I really could use you over there. And I was like, man, if you get it, I'll go. And he's like, hey, I got the deal settled in Houston. Will you be able to go still? I was like, oh, yes, sir. I can go. I got it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And that was with Lanham. So Lanham just keep me in mind anytime he got to see his cab somewhere. So I really appreciate that part.
Uh-huh. And so you don't work like a, quote, regular job. You're always just doing the contracting and stuff like that.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I mean, my job is running my lawn service at home, and you know, with my lawn service, I mean, dump trailers and
I didn't know that trailers
and low boys and stuff like that. So I mean, whatever it calls for at the moment, somebody needs me, I kind of venture off from the lawn service to, you know, just spring cleaning and anything else that anyone needs.
Cool. And are you still in Huntsville?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And then, how old are you this year?
I just turned 27.
All right. Sounds good. All right, so moving into the calf pushing. Oh, great calf pusher. So, what are the basics of a good calf push? Just bare bones, obviously. Say, because I've never pushed one, so tell me what I gotta know.
Well, for me, I never look back at the roper. I never look back at the roper anytime I'm pushing. Like, I'll look back and make sure they go into the corner, get started before I push the kid forward to the chute. And that way, I just don't cram him up there and hold him up there, and he'd be sitting there. And he'll just get to the front of the chute, and he'll be like, well, I'm just sitting there waiting, and the ladies, you know, or the guy, whoever, they're back there for at least a minute or however long they're taking. So I try to time it just perfect. When they start backing up, I'll ease the calf to the front of the chute. That way he's not sitting up there, and when he gets to sitting too long, he might not start when the gate's open and I'm pushing. He might pause and delay. So I try to get perfect perfect timing. By the time they start bagging up, they ease him up there to get him ready. And I do not like to cram him in the front of the gate. I like to get him close enough where he's comfortable. And if he's standing level, that's perfect, because that means when he leaves, he's going to drop flat. And sometimes if you cram him up there and you just ball him up, they'll jump forward. And when they jump, that'll give you a delay on your start right there.
Uh-huh.
So I try to keep him level and flat. And keep them probably, I don't know, maybe 6 inches from the gate.
Okay. And for your hands, I know you can hip them different ways, but just if you're shooting them straight, are your hands, they're below their pin bones, and you're kind of pushing into their kind of hamstrings, their butt? Or do you push up closer to the top of their tail?
I try to place the palm of my hands right up under their hip bones, and my fingertips on the top of that back right there.
Okay. Okay.
And I mean, I have pretty big hands, but when I push them, I like to drive them where they'll leave flat and they'll stay flat the whole time so they can take a sharp start.
Yeah. Where do you feel it the most when you're pushing calves? Or like soreness wise?
Mainly in my wrist, because my wrist stay bent back. When they start leaning back, my wrist normally start hurting after about 20, 30 runs.
Yeah. So you got to have good wrists to push calves.
Yeah, the steer wrestling is the worst, because the cattle are normally lean back, and the steer wrestlers, they want them on the go.
Oh, okay. Okay, so let's talk about handling different kinds of cattle and how you might push differently for different ones. So just say, for example, they're pretty fresh. Would you push them any different, or do you guys push fresh calves?
Most likely the cattle are going to have at least 2 or 3 runs. And so when they get to the rodeo, they have 2 or 3 runs.
Yeah.
So their starting is a little bit iffy. And majority of them go ahead and start. And on the second hand, the other ones that have 2 or 3 runs, they'll kind of pause and hang up at the gate. And I'll just try to drive them out the best I can.
Okay. So the ones that are fresher need a little bit more of a push.
Yeah, so mainly most of them have 2 or 3 runs on them. And, you know, if they freeze up at the gate because they still not figuring out the pattern and what's going on.
Yeah.
Then, you know, you have to give them a little extra shove.
Yeah.
But you don't want to shove them too hard to where you push them down and fouls up the run.
Yeah, for sure. What if, like, it's a really hot calf that, you know, is taking, like, a runner? What do you do in that scenario?
Well, most time the guy or girl that has a runner, they'll tell me, hey, I'm coming with him. I'm like, hey, I'm going to get him out of here, so take whatever start you want to take. I'm going to make sure I get him out of here.
Okay, so you're just you're focused on those first few feet. You're like, you're on your own after that.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's when your horsepower will come into play, so, and your ability to use your rope.
Mm-hmm. And then what's this I hear about, you know, some people say, oh, I wanted the calf to be hip left or hip right. Can you kind of explain that to me?
Well, most of the, I mean, a couple of the Turquoise girls, they like for their calf to stay in his right lead. So they'd be like, hey, can you push him a step to the left when you push him forward, just push him a little bit to the left so he'll break his stride to the right and kind of stay right in that middle lane right there.
Yeah.
So they have they have a pattern, they timing, but. For me, I think for them it works when the score is short, but when it's long, it really doesn't matter because you gotta ride your horse and be a horseman.
Okay, so hip and left is a lot more common than hip and right.
Yeah. You just want them to break the stride to stay in his right lead.
Okay, and so would you just kind of put a little bit more power in that right hand when you're pushing on him?
Yeah, just left. Less left and more right.
Okay.
So it's about a 30 on the left, 70 on the right.
Oh, nice. Okay. And I'm guessing that most people who read this are going to be like, hopefully like dads and like youth kids that are just getting into it and don't know the finer parts of pushing calves. What's something that you would want somebody who's like newer to this or pushing youth calves to know?
Do not look back at the roper when they're in the corner.
Okay.
Pay attention to the calf, so that way the calf never turn his head or do anything false. Because most of the time I see a lot of the parents or a lot of new guys, they always paying attention to the roper. like, do not pay attention to the roper when they're ready to rope. You need to pay attention to the calf to make sure the calf give them the best go they can so they can take the best start they can.
Okay. And is there any kind of tricks that you have to get calves, you know, standing straight, looking straight, so you can have that good start?
Most time for me, I like to wait until the roper starts riding around the corner. And when I look back right there and I see him riding around and they're about to back up, I ease the kid forward. And most time I have pretty good timing.
Cool.
When I ease them forward and they're set in the corner, and boom, they can take their start because, I mean, they're on a time limit, so they don't want to take up too much time right there in the corner. So I try to ease them up so the calf won't be fighting. He won't turn his head. And by the time I ease him up, they're ready, calf ready, so they nod and give us a you know, good go.
Awesome.
To help us on time management. I mean, you know, and bigger deal, you know, adding the girls in, they want them up on a time management. So I just try to be easier. Don't be rough, you know.
Yeah.
Just try to make everything more time efficient in there because I can be rough and, you know, bang them around and everything else, and then that kills production. So.
Oh, it really slows everything down.
Yeah, when the calf started turning his head and, you know, if I put you in a vise and just hold you there for 30 seconds to a minute, sooner or later you're going to get out and want to start, you know, trying to go left, you know, trying to get out of that vise.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can ease the calves up there in the middle of the chute or the steer and they sit there for 5 to 10 seconds when the competitor is bagged in and they get them a sweet roll and they never move.